Let us pray to begin with. Lord, may the words of my mouth reflect who you are, and may your word resonate in our hearts. You are our strength and our sure foundation. Amen. Now, I'm not too sure what Helen preached last Sunday. I was at St. Aidan's. But at St. Aidan's, what I concentrated last Sunday was on Job. And the readings today are not an easy set of readings to actually develop a sermon from. But one of the things that I want to reflect back in Job, in that reading last Sunday, was two things. God actually says to Satan, have you seen Job and the integrity that he has, the integrity of his faith? And then his wife, before she says, why don't you curse God and die, actually says, do you still persist in your integrity? You know, have you ever been through some trauma in life? And you've come to God and asked why? Why God? Why me? Or in life when you found yourself in a complete mess, whether it be just in general things in life or even in health, you may have wondered where on earth God is. I know that I have. But let's listen to Job again. Today also, he says, today also my complaint is bitter. His hand is heavy, despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. I might come even to his dwelling. It's almost as if he's saying, yep, I'm going to tell God a thing or two. I don't know whether we've ever felt that. I have. Why is this happening? God, I'm going to spit the dummy with you. I would lay my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. But then he says, I would learn what he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Would he contend with me in the greatness of his power? And then he says this, no, but he would heed to me. Friends, hear this fact. We have an uncontrollable God. He is not our comfort blanket that we can pull out at times of convenience, but he is always our comfort and our assurance. Neither is he a remote control thing that we can direct to go and do whatever we think is best when we pray. But he does hear our prayers and does answer them, only not the way we may want. And so we come to David in the psalm, and oh boy, wasn't he down in his boots? And so David says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my groaning? Yet you keep me safe in my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God. We have a God we cannot control, but we certainly have a God who is in complete control over us. Despite their troubles, both Job and David knew this. If we can trust God in our prosperity, then we need most of all to trust him in our poverty as well. In Hebrews we read, and before him no creature is hidden, and all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one whom we must render account. Then later it says, let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mature faith comes by trusting in God over everything that we are and all we have. And in everything that happens to us, the tough bits and the good bits. And as we exercise this, we come to a place of knowing how real God is in our lives. In the gospel today, the rich young man comes to Jesus wanting to know what he must do to inherit eternal life. In his confidence, this man believed that keeping the commandments will get him in. The fact is, as Jesus said, we cannot do anything to earn our salvation. Jesus paid for it with his own blood. All we need to do is come into this grace with repentance and thanksgiving. Two things Jesus said to this man. Compared to God, no one is good. And whatever is greater than God in your life, get rid of it. Or rather, put your priorities in order. This young man believed that his relationship with God was based on how he earned it, and he had money to do this. But it crippled his faith. So much so, when faced with a challenge, he chose to walk away. Now, you can feed a cat every time it wants food, but you end up with what? A cat that is fat and lazy. I've seen a lot of them. But allow a cat to catch mice for its food and you have a cat that is resourceful and lean and fit. Now, I think God wants us to be this way if our heart's desire is the same. Faith grows by us using it, and sometimes this will be difficult and perhaps it may even hurt. God, who loves us, will prune off the dead wood and train us to be his effective servants for his glory. Now, when I was a boy, I found a plover's egg on my farm, and the chick inside was beginning to peck its way out. And I began to pull the pieces of the shell off until I'd stripped away all the shell. But what I didn't know was that I robbed the chick of the opportunity of becoming stronger before it was fully out. And so not long after, it actually died. So it is in the lessons of life. The difficult stuff helps us to grow. And when we put our trust in God through these hard times, so our faith grows as well. These are the eggshells we come against to break through. Faith without the challenges leaves us weak and vulnerable and open to doubt. Now, a weightlifter doesn't develop muscles by simply reading a weightlifting book. The book may explain the techniques, but he disciplines himself in using each muscle. So each muscle requires a different discipline. And it's the same in faith. We need to exercise it. If we need to be more patient or wiser or discerning or loving or forgiving or to grow in the fields of our spiritual gifts, these are the things that are the true gifts from God, that is the makeup of our faith. Jesus stresses to us, whatever we ask in the Father, ask in my name and I will give it. And the Holy Spirit will teach us how to grow it then. It is why Paul says in Romans 5, 3 to 4, but we also glory in our sufferings. Glory in our sufferings. The other version is count it all joy. And Paul says we know that suffering produces perseverance. And another word actually for perseverance is resilience. Resilience in our faith. But with perseverance, it builds in us the integrity of character, which always establishes hope. And hope does not put us to shame. because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Spirit who has been given to us. But what I am not saying is to seek trouble. No, trouble has a way of finding us whether we want it or not. It is wonderful to bask in the blessings of God, and we wish this. The shalom, Barbara has mentioned the shalom, to wish people the blessing and prosperity of God upon one another. That is a special thing. But we need to be prepared and know deeply within our souls that God is truly with us, and His Holy Spirit is our fortification when trouble comes a knocking. But we are all different, and some need support more than others. It is one of the main reasons why we gather in what we call church, so that we can support one another in prayer and in encouragement, hospitality and love, to build up hope in the hearts of each other, strengthening each other in our faith. We may not be in the ranks of God's mighty men, but at the very least, we can do these very things. And when we do, people do see beyond our religious traditions how our faith and our lives in Christ is real and tangible. Amen. I shall pray. Dear Father, Lord and God, help us to see and understand how you work in our lives, that you have laid down the foundations of faith and salvation in which we can now walk in. Help us to see that in your love, you will form us into people who have strength enough to be an encouragement for others. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the keeper of our hearts and the author of our faith. Amen.